cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. That song is not about the Miami Marlins, who we're about to talk today. Cap Figure Podcast, episode 27. Do you have a number 27, Tom?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton. Mike. Your name is Mike, you herb. Who the... You know, if you don't know, listeners, Giancarlo Stanton, his real name is Mike Stanton, and he decided to change it and ask people to call him Giancarlo. Who does that?
Giancarlo.
You don't get to make your own nickname, and you don't get to change your... What a herb. No, and no comment?
True.
True. Well, concise. I like that. Well put. True.
So, I think it just works better for, like, his look on South Beach with his, like, Maserati.
What, his centaur look? His centaur giant ass and legs look?
His pink Maserati.
Oh, like a douchebag herb, like
Giancarlo.
Like going up to the front of the line in the club with like his white shirt with the top three buttons undone, going up to crowbar to the bouncer, like he doesn't even say a word, he just nods. Doesn't look the guy in the eye. The guy like opens the ropes for him and is all excited that oh, Giancarlo is here, and Giancarlo doesn't even look at the guy. And then like the fourth guy behind him in line in his posse says hi to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Giancarlo rolls. But maybe not anymore because he sucks now. Well, whatever. We'll get into that. So this is a Cap Figure Podcast, episode 27. We're going through. We're in the second team of our 30-team series called the MLB Look At, where we look at every team in baseball.
Just look at them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I blurted out that title of our series last episode, and now we have to stick with it. The MLB Look At, you know, because I wasn't feeling very articulate. So in episode 2 of our Look At, we're going to look at the Marlins. They're right over there. Let's look at them. So we'll start with last season. What was the story of their season last year, Tom?
Yeah, so they finished 79-82, 15.5 back in the NL East. They were in contention for a while for the second wild card.
At the trade deadline, we were talking about how we thought they were going to push to get a starting pitcher because they were close. They had possession of the wild card. Like, if you know, at some point they were in it.
Yeah, and if you kind of look at the breakdowns here, like the 2016 team rankings, they're basically just like an average team, which makes sense why they were in contention for the wild card.
They had Jose Fernandez.
If you kind of look at the team, right, their outfield, I could argue that maybe outside of Pittsburgh last year, their outfield is probably one of the strongest in the major leagues,
right,
if not the strongest.
With Christian Yelich, who obviously emerged.
Yep.
Mike Stanton, who obviously demerged. And Marcelo Zuna, who's, like, very underrated still, right?
Exactly.
And all three, well, two of the three had really, really great years compared to what they've been.
And then rounding out the rest of the diamond, you know, there's a lot of players to like. JT Realmuto is one of the few up-and-coming catchers in the league.
Who hits left? Oh, I thought he hit lefty. He maybe, whatever, go on.
Then you have Justin Bora at first base, who's, you know, he's kind of what you want from a first baseman. He plays okay defense. He hits for power.
Right. He's at least worth a win. He's like an average player, like worth a win or two, which is average.
D. Gordon,
obviously,
I think, is a great second baseman. They have him under team control now for a while.
They lost him half of the year last year because of his PED suspension, so that obviously hurt them, and he's retarded, but he's great. He's legitimately... When he had a breakout and won the batting title in 2015, it was legitimate. You know, when they signed him, it was a risk because it was hard to tell if he was getting lucky or whatever with the Dodgers. But
right,
he's for real. He's a really good player.
Then Hechavarria at shortstop. You know, he's I'd say at least a top 20 shortstop. He plays well defensively. And then Prado at third. Again, he's an average third baseman.
But no glaring weak spot, except maybe right field. But not real. I'm going a little overboard on Giancarlo. But
yeah, there's no holes on that, the starting lineup for the offense.
Right.
The pitching, on the other hand, is a totally different story. It was promising at times last year. I mean, we can't talk about the Marlins without talking about Jose Fernandez. I mean, that is just an absolute crushing loss for a team. He was probably the most promising young starting pitcher. He had a chance to be an all-time great.
And he died in a boating accident late in the season last year. Just died at how old was he, 25?
Maybe even younger.
So sad. And it's crazy because, like, how do you replace him? He's irreplaceable. We joke there's generational talent inflation. So maybe we'll call him a half a decadal talent. He's a half a decadal talent.
But he was.
Yeah. Like, you only get a player like him in your franchise every 10 years, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he was exactly what you would consider an ace. When he was healthy, he was in the same sort of conversation as Clayton Kershaw. Rounding out the rest of that rotation, Adam Conley and Tom Kohler looked like nice pieces to begin the year. Conley was a huge surprise. He's a young, lanky left-hander, kind of throws the ball like Chris Sale. He had a great first half of the season. He was definitely in the discussion for the All-Star game. They signed Wei-Yin Chen last offseason. He got injured right after the All-Star break, but he was definitely a fine pitcher. And Tom Kohler, he's a very solid, number four pitcher. So their rotation, again, there weren't really that many holes.
That's what's funny is that, I'm sorry, and AJ Ramos had a good year as a closer. And you look at their rankings of 2016, and it's reverse of, like, we're going through the team, and for whatever reason, the sum does not equal the whole of its parts, because one by one, the offense looks way better than the pitching, but they're, like, hitting ranks in 2016. They were fourth in batting average, but OPS 25th, runs 27th in the majors. And their pitching, I mean, in large part because of Jose Fernandez, which doesn't matter for next year, but they were sixth in baseball in Ks per nine. Ninth in hits per nine, 12th in ERA. So it's the reverse of what it seems. But, I mean, I still stand by our analysis that their offense is way more stable, obviously, especially now, losing 80% of what informs your opinion of their pitching in Jose Fernandez dying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their bullpen was... AJ Ramos had a great year. He was definitely emerging as, or he did emerge.
He had a great first half, rather. He had a great first half.
Right. I mean, it's easy to forget too. Carter Capps was a great relief pitcher. He's going to be a closer if he can recover fully.
What happened to him?
He got injured in the preseason. Remember, he's the guy who has that kind of
crazy slide step.
Yep.
And what? He was out for the year?
Yeah.
What happened? He slide-stepped off the mound and his leg cracked?
Exactly.
Not really. Wait, what was it?
Some arm injury.
All right. So let's go to next season. So that was the story of their last year, though. Like, they were in contention. They had a good outfield. Mike Stanton really...
Well, to be fair, he had injuries, too, throughout the year. I think he had that hand injury.
And, yeah.
I mean, he tried to come back towards the end of the year, but... any hand injury for a power hitter is basically just debilitating.
I'm extra resentful at him, too, because I took him second in my, main $350 fantasy league after Carlos Correa, which sort of worked out, but he really let me down. So if I'm spitting extra venom at Mike, it's because he's a douchebag. No, it's because he hurt my fantasy, my first real fantasy baseball season.
That makes sense.
So it is what it is. Also, I don't like his approach. He played really bad when he played. Like, and I don't blame. I've never gotten hit in the face with a baseball as he did the year before. Like, he got hit in the face, but they showed videos on MLB Network of him not crowding the plate and really being like tentative on balls inside, which I do not blame him. I am no one. I am very flinchy. But, you know, he just didn't perform as well. He was trying to hit home runs too much. And he had a couple spots in the season where it was like, oh, he's going to get going, right? There was like 1 week when we were like, oh, he's back. And then he just didn't do it. But this is all a different-ish discussion than how well the team does, because he only can matter so much. But for now that we're talking about the state of the franchise going forward, his how he plays super matters, because he's the biggest contract of all time. He got $300 million, 320. What did he get?
Yeah,
like a million years, $3 billion, 300 something dollars. Million.
He signed through 2027 with a 2018 club option, $325 million, 12 years.
That's insane
for a right fielder, power hitting, good arm, not a great fielder.
27 years old.
He's exactly the profile of a player who will break down as he gets older. You're going to lose that power. His body type is more susceptible to injuries.
What, being a centaur with giant legs and a little upper body?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you can think about it. It's even like with the Yankees, with Aaron Judge, right? People get excited about him. But if you kind of think back, right, it's easy to remember Dave Winfield or Reggie Jackson. But how many of those guys who are like hulking masses, who are 6'7", 275 pounds, how many of them actually end up having extended careers?
Yeah.
Where they're successful towards the end of their career? It just doesn't happen.
Right, unless you juice, but right.
Even so, that could make it even just that much harder on your tendons and your nerves. So,
well, maybe Barry Bonds, you know, he was a hitting coach last year. Maybe he on the low, like, that's why D. Gordon got caught, like, because he didn't read this journal that Barry Bonds gave out. But there's a story that I'm making up as we speak that Barry Bonds, when he got hired in the Marlins, and Don Mattingly, the manager, didn't like this. Barry Bonds gave to all the players a guide on how to do steroids and not get caught, and it include, like, be very combative with the media, be a jerk to everybody, don't care about anybody but yourself. And Mike Stanton, if he read that, he could have a long career. But D. Gordon said, man, I don't need this. I know how to cheat, and that's why he got caught.
That's exactly it.
You know, there's lots of citations. You could tweet me at Horrible Stats, and I'll give you the citations for that story, but so anyway, you know, I get your point, though, that, like, it was just a silly contract, even at the time. Even at the, like when they signed it, it's for 37 home runs a year. He's not, like, a guy who's ever even had, like, a Jacoby Ellsbury season, like his best season, right? He had a very good year. He was consistently awesome, don't get me wrong, but not for a right-handed right fielder for some home runs.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to try and be too hard on this franchise, but the bottom line is, like, there's definitely a disconnect between baseball operations and ownership. Ownership has one sort of agenda, and baseball operations has another.
They're a mess.
There's no reason why you sign a player like that to that contract unless you are negotiating a local TV deal, which they were, and it did help the value at that time. It turns out that the owner of the Marlins, Jeffrey Lurie, who also is the principal owner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Of the Eagles.
Turns out he's trying to sell his stake in the team after he basically hoaxed the public into building the new stadium, after he signed Stanton to this deal and then signed the local TV deal. So he's going to make a nice, you know, billion and a quarter.
It's crazy. And the new stadium a couple years ago, like we referenced last year, last episode, the Braves kind of getting over on the public with a new deal 20 years after. This was like so bad. There's a great Real Sports with Brian Gumbel piece on it with like the president of baseball operations just being like a little snaky liar, like smirking. And they did the same thing they did after they won the championship in 1997. They had bought all these players. They bought, oh my God, who was it? Mark Burley, right? And they bought Jose Reyes. And they acted like they were going for it. And for 1 year, they actually half-assed tried when they got the new stadium. And then they just dumped them all and dumped all the salary. And then the stadium's empty. And it's like, what the heck? Like, And then there's these questions like, hey, are you guys even trying to win? Like Tom, you're just referencing the difference between baseball operations and ownership. And ownership is clearly winning. Like, they clearly are just out to make money. Not that all teams aren't. I mean, I guess I sound like a idiot when I'm like, oh, they're just out to make money. But you know what I mean? Like, at the expense of everybody else.
No, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because you look at certain teams, yeah, all these teams are making money. A lot of them aren't making money on a year-to-year basis in terms of, like, cash flows, but it's more the actual, like, valuation of the team. Which
matters much more when you're trying to sell it.
Yeah, if you're trying to sell it, and even for, you know, like, taking out loans or trying to, you know, borrow money, like, the valuation of the team matters so much more. And you just look at the story, right? And the Marlins, when Lurie bought the team, I'm sure he probably bought it for a value of somewhere around $300 or $400 million. And his main goal was to inflate the valuation of the team.
Well, he might have owned it from when they got created, maybe, right? He might have created it because they only became into existence in like 93.
Sure. I mean, either way, you kind of look at it, right? They have $73 million payroll last year.
That is pathetic.
And $15 million of it was for Stanton.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you just, it's a proven fact that you can, look, we went through the starting nine on offense. We went through the pitching rotation, and we both agreed that it's an average, if not maybe even above average team.
Right.
But you can't win with 13 players in Major League Baseball. You need depth. You need 25 to 35 players at this level now. And
part
they
of
don't
it,
have that.
And also maybe not a zoo of a front office, which doesn't matter as much in baseball, in a sport like baseball. But, you know, you can't have so much of a chaotic environment where Barry Bonds gives out steroid booklets to everybody. You know, that's going to hurt. But also, so now in all seriousness, like going forward, they also have gotten unlucky for how stupid they are. The Jose Fernandez is so sad. Like, he's by far the best player on the team by a mile. By far your biggest chance to win and draw people. And he died. He just dies in a freak boating accident, totally sober. Like, there was nothing. It was just unlucky. Right?
No, he wasn't sober.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
I thought he was.
No.
Oh, he was very not sober.
Yeah.
He was wasted?
Yeah, on hard drugs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Drugs?
Cocaine.
Oh. Well, it's still very, it's horrible either way, but I thought he was sober. Well, that makes sense. Who was the hockey player? Danny Heatley was driving, right?
Yep.
And his teammate, he killed his teammate in a car crash. And they were wasted. So anyway, so the Marlins, you know, it's funny. I was living in Florida for a year and a half, and I didn't like baseball at the time. And I jokingly was like trolling my Mets fans friends at home and Yankees. I was like, yo, I'm going to become a Marlins fan, you know. They've won two championships. That's more than you could say since 97, right? We had the 97 championship. We had the 03 Josh Beckett exciting thing. I could troll my Yankee fan friends. So I stole a Marlins shirt from a TJ Maxx in Fort Lauderdale Strip Mall. Ripped the sleeves off, went to the gym, really tried to become a douchebag, and I failed. I'm just too good of a guy deep down inside, and I couldn't abandon New York. So, unfortunately, my moral compass is too great. I'm a Mets fan.
Were they the Florida Marlins at the time?
They were the Florida. They were about to transition, so the shirt I was rocking was a throwback very soon.
I mean, we could also talk about their farm system, which is totally non-existent at this point.
All right, well, let's talk about it, Tom.
It's never a good sign when your top prospect is somebody that you just drafted this past June.
Yeah.
Which is the case for the Marlins.
Right. Usually you want it to be somebody who's in your system about to come up and stuff, you mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, because you're drafting a player, Braxton Garrett, who's 19 years old, starting pitcher. He will not be up to the majors for, let's say, conservatively 3 or 4 years, and he's your consensus number one prospect. So what does that tell you? It tells you that
there ain't no future.
Not developing players. They're not drafting well. And, you know, I remember an interview I heard with the head of their player development last year where the guys on MLB Now on MLB Network were talking to them talking to him and saying like, oh, you know, well, what are your thoughts on the farm system, whatever. And the head of their player development basically, instead of actually fielding that question, was just bashing the rating services, which, sure, like, you
that's
know,
insane.
Baseball America sometimes is wrong.
That's
but
so delusional.
They know stuff. I mean, obviously.
Yo, that's so funny. That's the strategy. That is so childish. That's so funny. So, by the way, Wayne Huizenga, who also owned the Dolphins, owned the team when they came into existence, 93-98. He did the same thing they're trying to do now, except they didn't win a championship now, but he sold the team in 98 after they won in 97 and he sold off all the players. Then John W. Henry owned it for 3 years.
John Henry? Yeah, I think he was the guy who owned the Red Sox for a while after that.
And then Jeffrey Loria, who actually, since 2002, has a winning record. With the Marlins have had a winning record since he took over, 736-721 with a 2003 World Series. It's so funny to think about that they've won two World Series, and like the Cubs didn't win one until this year.
Yeah, but think about those players that he had at that time when Dave Dombrowski was still the GM. I mean, he had Miguel Cabrera, Mike Lowell, Jeff Conine. Maybe even Gary Sheffield at that time.
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
Like Hanley Ramirez.
Josh Beckett, right, obviously.
Yeah, Dontrell Willis.
Dontrell, bro. I forgot about Dontrell. Let's see who else. Yeah, that was a fun year, even though it was depressing that they beat the Yankees for a lot of you guys. I watched some of those games, and it's funny watching Miguel Cabrera and, like, Joe Buck, like, being like, oh, this really good hitter, he's young, but, like, they had no clue what was coming, you know, that he would, like, rape baseball in the face with his skrills.
Yeah, I always found it funny. There's a baseball card that I saw with Miguel Cabrera, like right when he was signed out of Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And they list him as a shortstop. And I mean, he obviously came up as a shortstop, but it's just funny to me because you see him now and you're
like,
he's
like a first base DH.
He's
like,
just a blob.
I know. But that's what was so exciting when he played third base for the one or two games last year. It was really funny. But that goes back to our classic debate. Does blobness necessarily equate to speed? I'm kind of being sarcastic calling it our classic debate. But I heard, just to fill the listen is in, when they talk about Carlos Correa, that he's going to gain weight and might have to move to third base. I'm like, is that necessarily true? Obviously, if you get as fat as Miggy, who's like definitely an alcoholic, by the way, I think that's why he gained weight. Cause like, you know, all the stories about his drinking, like that he just is like, standoffish about it. And I guess I would be too, if I was still doing so well, but anyway, that'll help you gain weight. So Carlos, stay off the dope and maybe you'll be all right. They had Juan Pierre, Pudge. Oh, Pudge. We forgot about Pudge on the 2003 team.
Right.
Luis Castillo, Derek Lee, Josh Beckett. Yeah, that was a good team. They won the series that year. The last play in game 5 of the NL in the NLDS against the Giants was a play at the plate. They were up by 1 and Pudge, when they used to have the collision plays way back when I was a kid, you kids wouldn't know about this, but the runner, believe it or not, could just run into the catcher as hard as he could. And if the catcher didn't hold on the ball, he was safe. And if the catcher held onto the ball, the guy was out. And they collided, and Pudge held on, and that won them the series. Well, that was the last play of the series. So, what else? We're almost done. But what else you got to say about the Marlins going forward? They're screwed, huh? Even if they have a good year this year because of their offense, they don't have a good enough pitching. They signed Edison, who has the worst hairline since LeBron James.
I mean, their farm system is terrible. The only thing sort of going in their favor, and Stanton kind of clouds this a little bit, the thing going in their favor is they still have a lot of control for a lot of young players. Like Ozuna, they have 3 years left. You know, like Christian Yelich, they signed to a very team-friendly extension. They have him through 2022.
Real Muto, who's a great young catcher, they could...
5 years left.
Yeah, nobody has a catcher. Like, you have a catcher. Yep. That is so valuable, either for your own value or for trade.
And then D. Gordon, they have
that's
through
a great
2021.
Deal. Right,
so.
He's on a great deal. So, I guess if they could just... See, what I would do if I were them is just, and I know it's such a conflict of interest, like you said, with ownership trying to sell it in baseball ops, be good now versus like try to actually build something for the long term. But you just got to bite the bullet and try to rebuild your farm on the go, even though you have these good controllable players. But it's not enough. It's similar to the spot the Orioles are in. It's hard to admit to yourself that you're not as close as you are when you're in the wild card spot at some point in the season. Yeah. With the new format. But maybe the fact that Jose Fernandez is gone, dead, they can maybe admit to themselves where they're at. But I don't think they have.
They haven't. Because yeah. If they had, they would not be offering $100 million to like Chapman and Jansen.
I forgot about that. Yes. Yes. Clearly they haven't, obviously, because that's so stupid.
But that's just another example, right? Could they be signing that player because they think it'll add more excitement and then...
Well, like we talked about...
Sell the team for more money.
Right, right. Chapman and... like home run, Chapman brings the appeal on the most basic level to fans of like who could throw the hardest.
Yeah.
And that's the same excitement in the way of like Mike Stanton, who can hit a ball the furthest, right? He's probably the strongest home run hitter there is.
Definitely.
And like, yeah, I guess it's like on the most basic level... If your ownership, it's like, how do we get people to watch? It's like, we need the fastest thrower and the hardest hitter. So on that level, it makes sense. But
yeah, next offseason, we'll get Marlins Man on the show.
Dude, oh yeah, we got to get him, Marlins Man. You know, the guy wearing the orange visor at every playoff game, sitting behind home field, but behind
at
home.
Every premier sporting event.
Dude,
ever.
He's not a lawyer. What does he say he is? He's a doctor?
No, yeah, he's a lawyer.
That's a lie. I mean, maybe he's like a super lawyer, but how do you afford, you can't afford that.
Yeah, he's...
He's a lawyer on paper. He definitely, like, jumped into a bus and sued a city and got a ton of money because if he doesn't work the whole end of the regular baseball season and he's spending $10,000 a day on tickets in the playoffs, like...
And he always brings someone with him.
Does he? Oh,
yeah,
he,
like, has people tweet at him and then he picks someone to bring to the game with him. I mean, it's a great story.
The craziest part is that he has to find somebody every game. Those tickets are sold face value 100%. No, I'm saying, like, they're always going to be out face value for every playoff game. Like,
of course.
The team has sold those tickets. So he has to find somebody to resell him it. So he has to offer a ton more, maybe, in some cases. Like, I can't imagine many Cubs fans who are like, all right, I'll give you my ticket. You know what I mean? But I guess if he just blows you away with an offer, like, hey, I'm the Marlins Man, I'll let you take a photo with me.
I'm sure he blows. I mean, yeah, it seems like money's not really an object for him.
Maybe he's not really a Marlins fan. I know he is, but maybe he's just like trolling because he knows they're a joke of a franchise.
I mean, he probably boosts the valuation of the team significantly.
Yo, they should be. Maybe they're paying for his tickets. Maybe Jeffrey Laurier wants to sell it so bad, and he's so stupid. He's like, I don't care what it costs. We need a billboard at every playoff game. Make people think the Marlins are in the playoffs if they just glance at the TV. Yo, you just figured it out.
Yep.
That's like guerrilla advertising or some term that's not real.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, that is a real term, though.
And what does that look like? Like when I'm brushing my teeth and a guy comes in the bathroom with a billboard for Pepsi?
Yep. Yeah, it's taking people like off guard.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well.
It's like the same thing as like guerrilla warfare.
It's the same thing as our sponsor, Crate and Barrel. Go today for a meal. What was our sponsor?
Crate and Barrel.
Is that who you said 2 weeks ago?
No.
Who was it?
I don't remember.
It was like Country Breakfast Buffet or some horrible, horrible crap that has like biscuits and gravy on the menu and it's 2,000 calories and people eat it. People go there and eat it. Try it today.
Well, since the Marlins, it could be, what's it like, that Sunrise Diner or something in Florida where like... They offer breakfast from like 4 a.m. to like 9 a.m. It's all for old people. And then lunch is like 9 a.m. to 11.
Uh-huh.
And then dinner starts being served at 1 p.m.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I remember going with my grandparents to all the early bird specials at 5 p.m. All right, yo. So that's it. I guess the Marlins, like last thing, if Max Kellerman, when I interned at ESPN Radio, convinced me of this, as an argument as why it's okay to not have a salary cap, that teams should represent their cities and where they're from in some way, right? And he's a Yankee fan, and he was saying the Yankees represent New York, so they should be dominant and have this great team and have the right to have a giant payroll because they make the most number of people happy when they win. And I, that all makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm with it. So therefore, it's almost fitting that the maybe the worst state in the country – that is a hellhole, Florida, has a zoo, messed up, horrible backwards, but a mix with some good parts team, right? Which is sort of the real Florida. It's a horrible place, but there are some good parts.
Yeah.
So that was mad prophetic, yo. Who says I'm not articulate? We're done with day two of our MLB look at.
The look at.
All right, yo, leave a review, please, or tweet stuff.
At anyone.
At anyone. All right, bye-bye. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around, and nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Miggy, 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 can't you see just how you booze just hypnotize me? And I just love your fatty blaze, something, 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 Tampa Rays.